You may be seated. Our third case this morning is 13-1603, Anna M. Hambuchen et al. Versus 221 Market North, DBA Napoli's Italian Eatery. For the appellant, Mr. Kearney.
Good morning, Madam Chief Justice, and may it please the court, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. When a party seeks judicial review of an order of the Ohio Civil Rights Commission, it must initiate that review by both filing and service of a petition by statute. This court already held in Ramsdale that the filing part of the equation has to be within 30 days. So we ask the court today to hold likewise that the service component must also be initiated in 30 days.
Are there other proceedings provided for in the statute that requires a 30-day service?
No, Your Honor, there's nothing else in the statute in 41-1206B that talks about service of anything. In fact, as this court noted in Ramsdale, the statute's worded a little oddly, and that 06B doesn't really give a timeline at all. 06B just says you have to file, you have to serve, and there's no jurisdiction until you do. So what this court did in Ramsdale, it looks to letter H, and that's where there's a 30-day mark. And that's not about service directly, but H says if there's no appeal instituted within 30 days, that's when the commission gets to go out and seek enforcement by seeking a court order. And so what this court said logically in Ramsdale was, well, you can't have the appeal period be forever. B does forget to give a time period, it seems. So you import H and you say, well, if you can start enforcing after 30 days without an appeal, that must mean the appeal has to be filed in 30 days. And so since the court held that in Ramsdale, we think the same logic, even though service wasn't literally at issue in Ramsdale, the same logic is here. It makes no sense to
Wait a second. Let's talk about service, not filing. You're talking about filing within 30 days. That was the interpretation in Ramsdale that allowed for that. But filing something and service is you know, obviously two very different things. And when we have the civil rules that will but allow for a year, and you want to significantly shorten that to 1/12 of that time, and you want to use the logic of Ramsdale to do that.
Sure, because look at what the court actually did in Ramsdale. In Ramsdale, someone wanted to use Rule 6E to get 3 days mail to extend from 30 to 33, and this court said, no, the civil rules can supplement a statute where there's no conflict, but if there's a conflict, you can't do that. And this court said, because the 30 days in the statute is 30 days, you can't even use Rule 6E to go to 33 days. Well, if the court wanted to go from 30 to 33, certainly it would be much more extreme to go from 30 to 365, because there's also, within the rules themselves, Rule 82 said these rules cannot be used to extend jurisdiction.
But where is in the statute that you have to serve within 30 days?
Well, again, Your Honor, because the court already took H and imported into B. B says you initiate by filing and service. So it uses one umbrella term, initiate, right, and it says the two parts of that, the left and right hand, are filing and service. Then H says if nothing has been instituted, go off and start enforcing. And not only does the word initiate in B fold in both the filing half and the service half, but also you'd have the exact same problem that this court said was intolerable in Ramsdale. The court said you can't have someone going enforcing when the appeal period is still open and we don't know if this order is really going to hold up and be final. And here the same thing is true. Because B says the court doesn't have jurisdiction perfected until filing and service, you could file, day 31 could hit, we could want to move to enforce, but we have this halfway appeal that's been filed but not served, and we have to sit around for 11 more months wondering whether we have to file the record, whether we should get on with it, whether we're allowed to enforce. That's even worse because A specifically says, and so does H, that either party can file either the appeal or the enforcement action in any county where the place does business. Now, here we happen to have a place that, to my knowledge, only has one locale, but if you had a larger company, You could have the OCRC, the commission, wanting to file enforcement in one county, and then months later, an appeal pops up in another county. And we wouldn't know about it if no one serves us
Mr.
for months.
Mr. Carney, let me take you back, because I want to follow up on the Chief Justice's argument or position with respect to the difference between filing and service. If I understand your argument, it is that service should be made through the clerk of courts because that's required by Civil Rule 4.
Yes, and that the clerk service, the manner of service issue, it's not before the court, and also they from the very beginning have embraced that, saying we know it has to be from the clerk and the question is only when.
Okay.
And so our view is that the timing
issue. I understand that, but the difficulty that I have with your argument is that you are relying on Civil Rule 4A for the manner of making service, but you are disavowing the application of Civil Rule 3A for the time within which service can be made.
Well,
and I don't understand how you look to one civil rule for the manner of service, but don't look to the other rule for the time within which that service can be made.
Well, sure. I'd like to answer why that's case by case, but first I would like to know,
pardon me?
If, even though that they haven't addressed clerk service or opposed the manner of service, if the court thinks they have to be a package deal, we would rather have dial back to mail service and have it in 30 days to keep the timing moving along, because that's more important than have clerk service and have it take all year if the court reaches that. We don't think they should, though, but the substantive reason why we pick one rule and not another is because this court told us to. In Ramsdell, the court said we look at the civil rules case by case. The court looked at Rule 6A and said no. The court separately looked at Rule 4, and in Pegan, which we cite in our brief, in habeas, the court has said this rule applies, but this rule doesn't apply. It's not as if we take the civil rules as a
but
bundle.
Counsel, I guess you're confusing me with your argument. Are you saying the action must be initiated in 30 days and service must be completed in those same 30 days?
No, Your Honor. We do concede, because you can't have the rules conflict with the statute, because the statute lets them clearly file on day 30, And the statute talks about initiating by filing in service, it makes sense, we think, to read that to say, well, you only have to initiate the service by telling the clerk to serve, but you don't have to actually complete it, because it is admittedly not fair to them to expect them to achieve it
but
on the
you
very
mixing
same
words?
Day.
Counsel, are you mixing words there? Is it incumbent upon an appellant to initiate the proceeding or initiate service?
Well, both, Your Honor, because the statute says initiate by filing in service. And we think it wouldn't be fair to them to expect them to achieve the service, but they have to at least do something to initiate it. And again, they haven't contested.
And then how contested. Much time do they have after they initiate it? Say they initiate it on the 30th day. How much time do they have to perfect service?
Perfection, Your Honor, I don't think is dictated by the statute, and so I think you would look at the clerk has a duty to do it forthwith, and so I'm not sure how close forthwith would be before at some point you keep nagging the clerk or do something with them, but I think as long as they have met 4112.06b's initiating, any other flaws after that would be merely procedural and not jurisdictional. I think as long as they've initiated and they've made best efforts in those 30 days, that they've done their part, and then we have to keep on the clerk. While it's not at issue, I think someone could argue maybe the year does kick in on the back end for the achievement, or that it's just forthwith with no bright line, and I admit that's a little odd, but still it makes the most sense to say they have to at least do something in the 30 days, because again, if they don't do anything in the 30 days, they haven't met the terms of B, which this court has already said gets a 30-day timeline imported from H. But again, as I said a minute ago, if the court finds that the manner of service issue is somehow blended with the timing issue and that you have to bring in rules 3 and 4 as a package deal, all or nothing, well, we don't think you need to do that. If you would, it would be better to just go back to mail service and have it in 30 days, because taking all year is not only against the statute, but leaves us in limbo about our enforcement ability. It basically undercuts H.
So an administrative appeal notice with a precipice to the clerk would be sufficient?
It would, Your Honor. It could be a precipice. It could be, the rules no longer formally require a precipice, but it could be a cover letter. It could be instructions. It has to be something. And here what they did was exactly the opposite. They attached a certificate of service for their attempted mail way of going about it instead of clerk service. And so that sent the clerk the wrong message. It was, oh, it's already been served. Don't worry about it. So while the clerk, we think, has an independent duty to review everything, they sort of triggered this problem by saying, oh, don't bother. And also their petition.
Did the mail arrive?
It did, Your Honor. And as I said, they haven't questioned the manner of service. They've even endorsed that principle. But again, if something had to give, the manner of service, I think, would be the more debatable issue than the 30-day. The 30-day seems to me clear from the statute, and it's the manner that's more debatable. But they're here insisting on the year, and they're conceding the manner issue.
What if they get it wrong? What if they institute service with the clerk, but let's say they use the wrong address or the wrong name? Have they instituted an action? And isn't that where in my mind, that's a potential problem with adopting the rule that you're proposing, is you better get that right, unlike if we apply the civil rules where you have a year to get it right.
Well, Your Honor, that really, I'll admit that's a hard question, but it shouldn't happen because, after all, you've already been through an administrative proceeding where the parties were all together and you know the parties and you know their lawyers. The commission is downtown. We're easy to find. We haven't moved. So it's sort of hard to get our address wrong or hard to not find the state government. So I'm not sure how that would play out, although, ironically here, they did fail at that, too. Their petition for review gives their own address, but doesn't give Ms. Hambuchen's address. It doesn't even name the commission. It puts us on the back on the certificate of service, but it doesn't in the caption the way a proper petition or complaint or originating document that's the first act of the court. So they did get it wrong. But because they didn't initiate it, because they have multiple failures here, we don't think we have to get into those manner issues. But again, the most important issue to us is a timing issue. If that 30-day rule meant anything in Ramsdale to import H into B, it simply makes no sense for us to say, okay, it's day 40. Can we go enforce now? Well, we're not sure because for all we know, something's been filed with a large business in any of the 88 counties, and we don't know whether we can enforce yet.
Well, let's talk about that. If that were to happen, let's say you file, OCRC files an enforcement action, couldn't the appellant at that point come in and say, wait a minute, we have filed. We moved to stay. We moved to dismiss. There is a practical solution to that, isn't there?
Well, this court in Ramsdale said once we move for enforcement that we could get that enforcement order. It didn't talk about, oh, no, it'll just be cleaned up then, that they'll rush in and file and clean things up. So I think while maybe you could stumble towards a solution, this court in Ramsdale said we're going to read H and B to mean, because the legislature didn't want to just rely on it working out, the legislature must have meant that 30-day deadline to be part of B. And if that's what the legislature meant, that's what we follow, even if there could be a practical workaround.
Let's say that we look at this and say, this doesn't really make sense. There's some ambiguity here. What's the tiebreaker? You speak in your brief to the liberal construction. So talk about that. What's the tiebreaker if we think there is some ambiguity?
Well, I think there are a couple tiebreakers. The liberal construction rule is about the purposes of the statute. And here, it's not only about resolving discrimination case, but expeditiously, even in 411206, it says that these should be resolved quickly.
Which you kind of have trouble with in this case, wouldn't you admit, given the length of time that OCRC took to resolve the issue?
Well, Your Honor, that admittedly did take longer. The statute sets a timeline for the Court of Common Pleas to resolve. The statute doesn't govern resolution in the agency. And there's a bit of a difference between once someone's been found to discriminate, how soon you enforce that versus review it, versus how long you take in a complicated case or depending on staffing. There are all sorts of reasons why the initial phase can take a while. But then once you do, you want the resolution to be quick. And that's for the legislature to dictate. They do have a timeline on the front end for starting an investigation. They have a timeline on the back end for resolving an appeal. The legislature doesn't have a timeline for that. So again, that's fact bound here. But the more important issue is the statute talks about 30 days for enforcement. the only way we see to give meaning to that 30-day line, as this court said in Ramsdale, is to make sure something happens on service. If the court wants to indicate whether in dicta for lower courts
but
to
counsel,
revisit
in
the,
this case, something did happen, did it not? Didn't a notice of appeal was filed in the Common Pleas Court, correct?
Right, there was filing.
And there was service on all parties, was there not? Although I know you dispute the term service, but you received the copies, correct?
It did, but keep in mind, Your Honor, under the rule the Fifth District adopted, they didn't have to do anything. The Fifth District rule is you get a year to serve, so the fact that mail happened here is no, just happenstance. So we certainly wouldn't want to adopt.
I'm just trying to make sure I understand the facts. In compliance with subsection B, all parties who appeared before the commission did receive a copy of the notice of appeal?
To my knowledge, yes. I'm not sure if Ms. Hambuchen actually received or not.
Well, you represent the commission, right?
But the commission,
and you got your
we
copy.
Did receive the mail. But again, if the court were to go that direction, it would still have to at least reverse in part the Fifth District.
I'm not going in any direction. I want to make sure I understood the facts.
Right. But the Fifth District held as a matter of law, you don't have to do anything in that 30 days as far as service. You can wait the whole year. And that, we think,
is which 30 days are you referring to?
Well, 30 days from when the commission issues its order. That we think by the end of that 30 days, you should file and you should at least initiate service.
Well, the Court of Appeals did not say you don't have to do anything. They said you filed.
They said you didn't have to do anything regarding service.
Okay.
They said as long as you file, that's good enough. You now have all year.
So, Mr. Carney, it was the commission's order was November 15th.
Yes.
The filing was November 26th.
Mm-hmm.
When did the commission receive its copy?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I'm not sure what day we received it, but I do know we did receive it, and because they mailed it in that time, if mail service were allowed, they would have met the 30 days. But later, when they finally did go with clerk service, by that time they were on day 45 or 46.
So you're saying you did receive a copy between November 15th and December 15th?
We did. And again, the courts below, in a consensus that the other side is actually endorsed. I think that's, you know, that could be a harder issue if the court were to revisit that, or if the courts below were to revisit it. But the manner of service, they're not contesting. They're saying, we know it has to be the clerk, but we want all year to do it. They're not contesting that the mail service in 30 days would be an option. Their assignment of error below even endorsed that. And again, we would prefer, as a substantive matter, we'd rather have plain old mail in 30 days than the clerk in a year. But unfortunately, procedurally, they haven't preserved that issue. So we're sort of boxed in by how they've litigated it. So I'd like to reserve the balance, if there is any, for rebuttal.
Thank you. Counsel.
Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court. 411206 doesn't talk about how service is to be made. It doesn't talk about when service is to be made. Now, appellant would have this court legislate into that statute those two items which are silent. And furthermore, what this court did in Ramsdale was talked about the service issue specifically because the statute doesn't talk about the service issue.
Well, counsel, don't we have a problem here? Somebody files a lawsuit in a common pleas court, and the clerk of courts doesn't serve anybody. When does the 28 days to answer start?
Well, if you look at Ramsdale, the clerk doesn't have to do anything, because Ramsdale said that the commission adopted the Ohio Administrative Code definition of service, and that definition is that service is effective upon mailing by ordinary mail.
Not to open a chamber of horrors, but I could sue you tomorrow and take my time and maybe serve other parties in 3 months?
Pursuant to 411206 and Ramsdale's interpretation of that, the answer is yes, Your Honor.
So just send them the notice that they've been sued when it's convenient for me, and then that will start their 28 days at the Common Pleas Court?
Because this specific statute doesn't talk about the manner or the time for service. And Ramsdale essentially said that service by regular mail pursuant to this statute is effective.
But you understand my concern, do you not? Someone being sued and not being served?
I understand your concern. And that's why I believe that the 8th District was right in its decisions in the City of Cleveland and the Don case by applying Civil Rules 3 and 4. That is really the way that this case should be decided. Both the city of Cleveland and Don, the 8th District, said that those rules 3 and 4 apply, and service is within 1 year after filing. There's no reason not to apply the civil rules to this case, but if the court wants to follow Ramsdale, we serve them easily within 30 days by regular mail, and subsequently, I requested that the clerk serve, and the clerk served them within 40 days after the petition for judicial review was filed. They got service twice, not once. So what they're trying to do here is have this court write into the statute something that's not in the statute.
Counsel, your friends on the other side, though, say we've got, if an action hasn't been commenced within 30 days, we can go in force. Doesn't it present a problem?
I don't see what.
If they haven't been served yet, there's been an action filed, but OCRC hasn't been served yet and may not be for several months, isn't that a problem for their enforcement?
Well, it's not a problem in this case because they were effectively served.
But we're not dealing just with your case. We're going to write the rule for all cases. So couldn't that possibly be a problem in a future case?
If the petition for judicial review is filed within 30 days and they haven't received service of that, the notice of filing is still on the docket. So all they have to do is check the docket in that particular court, and they will see whether or not there was a petition filed.
And they will always know what court to go to?
Well, it would typically be the court that had jurisdiction in the underlying matter, which would have been, in this particular case, Stark County, where all the parties resided.
My point is it's not tough to figure out where the clerk of court's office should be where you're checking the docket.
Absolutely not, Your Honor.
Do you have to file in Stark County?
Would we have to?
Mm-hmm.
We could have filed it in Franklin.
So there are two places they'd have to check.
If that's a problem for the appellant to do so, I guess that would be a difficult thing. I don't know why it would be, Your Honor. That's all they would have to do in order to determine whether or not the petition had been filed. But again, that doesn't apply in this case because they got service.
Your position is that once you requested mail service, they were served?
According to Ramsdale, that's exactly what this court said in Ramsdale, that service is effective upon mailing. Because the commission adopted the Ohio Administrative Code's definition of service, because it's not in the statute otherwise. So according to Ramsdale, they got served on November the 26th when I sent this out by regular mail.
What part of Ramsdale says that, if you would, please?
Justice Resnick specifically spoke to the fact that the commission adopted the Ohio Administrative Code's definition of service because there is no definition of service in the statute itself, and the Ohio Administrative Code defines service as service by mail as being complete upon mailing. They would have gotten service, according to Ramsdale, on November the 26th of 2012.
And so in response to their motion to dismiss your case, you made service pursuant to Civil Rule 4A, which is clerk service.
As soon as they filed their motion to dismiss and claimed the service was not proper, I requested that the clerk serve by certified mail, and that service was effectively done as well, Your Honor.
So is it your view, as you say, the 8th District adopting Civil Rule 4A is the preferred method, or procedure you followed in this case pursuant to our decision in Ramsdale, which do you find to be the more appropriate?
I think the more appropriate way is what the 8th District said and follow the civil rules.
So we should modify what we said in Ramsdale, or does Ramsdale only speak to the filing and not specifically service, in your view?
Ramsdale speaks to the filing, because in that case, the petition was filed 31 days after the decision by the commission. Okay. So they were outside of rule. And Ramsdale held that you cannot extend what is effectively a statute of limitations by using the civil rules. So that case is distinguishable from this. But so I believe the rationale remains the same and that the civil rules should apply.
So what we need to do is clarify for claimants and and really for the commission and the courts, what should be done to affect service.
Exactly, Your Honor.
So would you have any problem if this court were to say that the service should be by mail rather than the clerk?
I have no problem with doing that, but although I believe, as Justice O'Donnell said, the preferred method would be what the 8th District said, and that is apply the civil rules. So it should be by the clerk.
But the problem in applying the civil rule gets us to the Ramsdale problem, where if you talked about the one-year period, then the commission doesn't have the right to enforce within 30 days. Do you see the point?
I do see that point, and that would be true, because if you apply the civil rule and service is not perfected within that year, that time period is extended out. But if everyone knows that the civil rules are to be applied, which no one knows at this point because the status of the law, according to the statute, is in limbo, then everybody's playing by the same rules.
But then we would have to modify Ramsdale. Would you agree with that? Because Ramsdale suggests the trumping of the statute, the trumping of 411206 trumps the civil rules.
The issue in Ramsdale is not the identical issue here. I think Ramsdale requires some clarification, Your Honor. But not necessarily trumping anything in Ramsdale. But I think that if this court chooses to apply the 8th District's rationale in the City of Cleveland and the Don cases, then everyone will know that the civil rules apply and service can be pursuant to Civil Rule 30 within a year. They will know it, the complainants will know it, everyone will be playing by the same rules. Right now, that's not the case. But in this particular case, if they want to apply the logic of Ramsdale, we've complied with Ramsdale. They got service by ordinary mail within 30 days. So I don't know what they're complaining about here, other than the fact that they don't want this case to be heard on its merits. And they want to decide it on some procedural basis, which really don't exist, because they got service not once, but twice.
But if we apply the civil rules, you're saying that in another case, there could be a situation where service is not perfected until 1 year, and then basically the 30-day period is extended for 1 year.
No, because you still have to file your petition for judicial review within 30 days. That's all the statute requires to be done within 30 days.
And you're saying it would be unusual for the clerk of courts then to take a year to serve the other parties?
Especially when the other party is the commission, because everyone knows where the commission's located. So their argument with respect to that really is a nullity. They're going to be served quickly by the clerk of courts if the rule is service should be by the clerk of courts.
But it's not just service on the OCRC. Don't you have to serve all parties?
You have to serve all parties that were present at the hearing. So in this particular case, the complainant would also have to be served, and that was done in this case. The complainant was served as well.
But that might prove more problematic than just serving OCRC.
I don't know that it would, Your Honor, for this reason. The parties would have gone through a trial, as we did in this case. We went through depositions, we went through a trial, we certainly knew where the complainant was. So I don't know that I can envision a situation where it would be difficult to serve the parties before the commission, because everyone would know who the players were.
I'm concerned about your answer regarding what could happen with respect to that 1 year delay. A complainant files the complaint, files the notice of appeal, but doesn't serve within the year. Your response suggests that it's really their burden. It's OCRC's burden to check the docket and see if there's been a notice of appeal filed either in the county where it occurred or potentially in Franklin County as well. Shouldn't you also carry the burden? I mean, shouldn't the complainant also have a burden if OCRC doesn't check the dockets but goes ahead and files an enforcement action? Couldn't it then be your burden to say, wait a minute, we have to move to stay or move to dismiss because we have filed our notice of appeal? And at that point, it might force you to serve.
I really can't envision a case where the party filing the petition for judicial review would want to hold up service.
Well, they would if they don't. If they want to hold up enforcement, wouldn't that be something that might entice them to hold it up?
Conceivably, that could happen. I would think that the parties would want to get judicial review as quickly as possible. And not, this case has been lingering for almost 7 years. The administrative law judge issued its her ruling 3.5 years after the trial, and then reinstated the employee with full back pay for what is now 7 years. So if anybody's created a situation here that is unjust, it's the commission, because now the employer is in a position where he has to reinstate the employee with full back pay for 7 years. This is not a major corporation that we're dealing with here. This is a sole proprietorship that could easily be put out of business because of what the administrative law judge in this entire process has ended up doing.
Thank you.
Your Honors, I would respectfully request that the Fifth District's decision be affirmed. Thank you all.
Thank you. Counsel, you use your time. You may take 30 seconds.
I'll be as quick as I can. I'd like to correct a major misstatement about Ramsdale. Ramsdale clearly did not endorse mail filing or mail service for a petition for review. It was talking about the commission's own order, the final order at the end of the case, because that's what triggers the countdown. And the court said that could be ordinary mail, but that's not triggering a new level of review. That's at page 25 to 26 of the decision. So everything based on the premise that this court already approved mail service is wrong, because it's talking about the wrong document, because that's not under 411206. Second, we would have to check 88 dockets, not two, if this were McDonald's and not Napoli's with one location, because
well,
the statute
you wouldn't
says,
really have to check anything. You would just go ahead with your enforcement because you don't know about it, and then they would tell you, hey, we filed this case.
And that might work out in
practicality.
Well,
that's the way it would work in the real world.
It's hard to see why the legislature would write a rule saying we go out and force and then find out this other thing is pending. But even when they tell us that, we would still not know if they are having trouble, as Justice French noted, of serving the other party. If they're having trouble, we still have to sit back for 9, 10, 11 months.
You can look at the docket to see who was served.
Right, but if they haven't achieved service on the other party yet and they take all year, during that whole time, they've gotten a free extension on enforcement on not hiring someone back or whatever the issue is, or housing discrimination. It gives anyone a free year when the legislature said you can enforce in 30 days and they
well,
can
but,
say,
but, you know,
no,
you heard where the enforcement here, it's been 7 years that this case has been pending. It doesn't seem to me that that would be in the best interest for the employer who's been adversely affected by the ruling to stretch it out.
Well,
isn't it their, I mean, it's everybody's best interest right. to get these things handled.
And that's why we want 30 days and not a year, Your Honor. And I also want to finally say that we are not trying to play gotcha games. The courts have held that this is the way to do this in lower courts about clerk service. A private party brought that up in the 80s. We didn't even move for that. And when the courts tell us this is a jurisdictional rule, then we try to enforce those by calling out jurisdiction as we must. We are not trying to avoid the merits. We'd be happy to take it on. The merits are not before you, but we're not trying to avoid that.
Thank you.
We stand by that. Thank you.
All right, we'll take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decisions. Thank you, gentlemen.